Bibles. We're reading from Jonah 3 today, the whole chapter. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
Thank you, Trevor. We're continuing our study, the book of Jonah. Third installment, three chapters. Third installment, the fourth installment comes next week when we finish out the book. And you may remember as we walk through chapter 1, Jonah's called to go to Nineveh, much like the start of the text this morning. He's on his way, only in chapter 1, he was not on his way to Nineveh. He was on his way the other way. He was running away, and of course he jumped on a boat to get as far west as he could, away from the situation, away from it all. And it came to be that there was this storm that rose up on the sea. And as the storm rose up on the sea, it was determined that Jonah was the cause of the storm and they couldn't do anything about it, so they threw Jonah overboard. And he started to drown and sink and hit bottom, the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. And he hit bottom. And the fish came and swallowed Jonah up. And from inside the fish, Jonah is praising God. He's saying, thank you for saving me. But he's inside the fish. He's not out of danger yet. He's still inside the fish. Yet Jonah knows that God is a gracious God, that God saved him. And as soon as after 3 days and after these prayers that Jonah prayed, the fish finally spit Jonah out onto dry land. Then God called to Jonah again, as that's where we come into our text. Go to Nineveh and go say the words I tell you to say. Not go to Nineveh and preach against it. Go there and say the words I tell you to say. Jonah goes immediately, wastes no time, smelling like fish, heads off to Nineveh, gets over there, and starts preaching the words that God tells him to say. And what does God tell him to say? But 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown, it says in your version of the Bible. It's a pretty good translation, but the word for overthrown here in Hebrew is hapak. And the word for overthrown the meaning for hapak is a little bit different than overthrown. It's close, but it's a little bit different. Hapak means to overturn, or to turn around. One of those two meanings. It's sort of like a double meaning of a word. It could be to turn over or to turn around. And the difference is subtle, but it's significant. So I want you to keep that in mind. God tells Jonah Go throughout Nineveh and tell them that in 40 days they will experience hapak. Sort of, I imagine this really pleased Jonah, because if you recall from the first installment of this message, Jonah was really not happy that God called him to go to Nineveh. That's why he ran in the other direction. Jonah was not happy about it. He wanted the Ninevites to suffer the wrath of God. He wanted them to die for it. And we verify that in chapter 4 because we already know the rest of the story. But Jonah wanted the Ninevites to die. So if Jonah walks through Nineveh and he says, 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overturned, flipped upside down like a plow digging up the ground in the furrow, laying the grass side on the inside of the earth and the earth side up, yes, then it's going to be horrible for Nineveh. And you could just see Jonah walking through the city with a big grin on his face. This is what's going to happen. 40 more days and hapak. What happens when the people hear that? When the people hear 40 more days and this is going to happen, what do? But they hapak. They turn around. They repent. All of a sudden, people believe the word that God is saying through the mouth of Jonah, and they hit the ground and they put sackcloth on themselves, this itchy, scratchy type material that's made of goat's hair. The closest that we come to is burlap. And I don't know if you've ever tried burlap on before. It doesn't feel too great. And I think burlap is a really mild version of sackcloth. And so the people start to sit down in the dirt and with the sackcloth on. And they even cover themselves sometimes with dirt, more dirt and ashes. They're making themselves low, low as dirt. Nothing gets lower than dirt, except these people who want to signify very publicly, mind you, that they are mourning, that they are repentant, that they are turning away from their sin and turning toward God. They are hapak-ing. Even the king himself takes off his royal robes when he hears all this, takes off his posh clothing, and sits in the dirt, lowering himself. And the king says something else too. He says, we're not only going to do this, folks, we are also going to fast. No eating, no drinking. And maybe, just maybe, this God will not punish us, like, will not overturn us, like Jonah said. Thing is that God already overturned them. God caused them to repent. We all know what repentance is, right? Repentance is going the other way from sin. Exactly the opposite way. It's like we live our whole lives walking this way, walking towards our sin. We're living a sinful life. We're living our lives. And something or another strikes us somehow, some way. Maybe we get a good talking to by somebody. Maybe we get caught in our action. Maybe we just come to our senses like the prodigal son came to his senses one day. However it happens, we don't know. Maybe we get bashed upside the head with a 2x4. Who knows? And all of a sudden we go, wow, wait a minute. I'm over here on sinful side and God is way over there. I'm going to turn and walk towards God. That's repentance. That's repentance. People of Nineveh began to hapak. Hapak. They turned around. And so God didn't have to send calamity upon the city because they turned around. You know, it's interesting because we need to hapaktu. We need to repent. Repenting, turning around, is not something that's left for a one-time deal either. We don't do it just once. We didn't come to faith in Jesus and all of a sudden, oh, wow, yeah, here we are, faith in Jesus, and I don't need to worry about sin anymore. Although we say we, our salvation is assured in Christ, and that's true, but we keep looking over top of our shoulder back to our sin. That's our fallen, sinful human nature. We keep on turning back and going, wow, I really like that over there. I like that sin. I love it. I want it. And so we, the more we glance at it, the more we tend to walk towards it. So repentance is a daily activity that we need to do. It's a daily discipline that we should keep up on all the time. Repentance, hapaking. Keep on turning towards God. Keep on moving towards Him. Get into this. Learn what God has to say to you that day. Get into daily devotions. Get into prayer time. Spend time alone with God. Coming together in a church service like this is hapaking. It's repenting. What we've just done at the Lord's Supper with the very tangible eating and drinking of the bread and the juice is a reminder of what Jesus has done. That's a reminder of hapaking. You know, I've talked to a number of people who said, yeah, I believe in God and I'm a Christian and all that. I just don't go to church because church has turned me off. I've been hurt by the church. And I get that. I really get that. Because the church hasn't always been stellar with people. But there's more to it than that. If we don't come together, how are we going to get that encouragement? How are we going to get that constant learning? How are we going to get this idea of the understanding of the forgiveness of God if we don't come together in church? If we say, you know what, I'm going to take a break from it. I'm out. It's hot. It is hot. And I get it, that you wouldn't want to be here because it's hot. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. But it's so good for you to be here. Because you're here with a bunch of other people just like yourself. And we're all in it together. And we're all sweating together. And yes, it's good. Sort of. You know, hapaking, repenting, turning around, means doing it all the time, keeping that discipline. And we need to do that. And we get an example from Nineveh. We get an example from Nineveh. Because if you turn to the book of Nahum, which is about 100 years after Jonah, about 100 years, three generations, you'll see the total and utter destruction of Nineveh. The total and utter destruction of Nineveh. Where they were saved, they repented in Nahum, two books after Jonah. They're done for. Nineveh was then indeed overthrown. Overturned. It's an important lesson for us to learn. Because if we don't keep up on the discipline, the self-discipline of bringing God to the forefront all the time in our daily lives, we stand the chance of looking at sin a little bit too closely. And even though our salvation is assured, don't get me wrong, our salvation is assured. If you said yes to Jesus, you're good. But sin is always crouching at the door, and it longs to have us, says the Scriptures. Keep on turning towards God. Keep on searching Him out. Keep on hapaking. May God be with you as you do that. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this reminder to keep you in the forefront. In fact, Lord, it's part of our mission as Christians. We are called to not only bring you to the forefront, Lord, or not only to bring your name to other nations, to other people, but you are calling us today to remember you always, to keep you in the forefront, to honor you. We ask, God, that you would be in that. You would remind us before we get way too lost on the sin side of things. We ask, God, that you would continue to watch over us and bless us as we turn to you, turn around for you. In Jesus we pray, amen.